So good evening, everybody. This afternoon, when we were having our dana, and someone come to our monastery, they said, "Could you kindly share merits, you know, send good wishes to my daughter? Her daughter is only 14 years old, and she tried to commit suicide. And of course, that she's all right. She's in the hospital, and of course, her mom." She was really quite worried about her daughter. And just now before I came in, and someone told me that a man, that he killed his wife. And he doesn't seem like those, you know. He's a lecturer in a TAFE, you know, teaching in the TAFE college. And also the wife is a teacher. He doesn't seem like, it's very calm and peaceful, you know. It doesn't seem like people will do such a thing. So today, I would like to touch on this topic about this emotion, especially these afflictive emotions, because very often we find ourselves like captured by this very intense or entangled in this very strong, you know, intense emotion, and we lost our control, self-control. And especially in our daily life and also in our relationship. And especially you can see this man, like, you know, he killed his wife. And actually he said he just went back to the house within a few minutes. So sometimes when our mind comes to the max, we can't take anymore. Just within the split second. Sometimes we think that we will not do such a thing. But if we still have this great hatred and delusion, we still, you know, will do such a thing. We think that we will not, only when the condition is right. So dealing with this afflictive emotion, and actually the Buddhas, in Pali, we don't have such a word like emotion. So the Buddha said this is a delusions. So delusions are the states of mind that which when arises in our mental continuum and leave us disturbed and confused and also unhappy. And it's afflictive. You know, it's afflict our mind, and that's why the Buddha said this, called this a delusion, or we can say this is afflictive emotion. And actually, it's very difficult to deal with this afflictive emotion, because this emotion is not like a thought that you can really see the thoughts arises. You know, the emotions that don't have a clear boundary. You know, sometimes you can notice that predominant, you can see the predominant emotion, like for example, anger. But the anger is come from, maybe sometimes come from worries, you know. Sometimes because of the worries, you give rise to fear. Sometimes give rise to you feel nervous and panicking attack and all sorts of emotions. And because they come in this type of emotions, they come in a cluster, like you they're just entangled. You can't see, you know, like a whole piece of fabric, you know. But when you see closer, there's a different strand, you know, that make up or do this. But they come in a whole lot. That's why it's very, very difficult to deal with, and it's very subtle. And that's why, because it's so subtle, so it's very difficult to deal with. And for example, we can notice only anger, but anger is just the predominant we can notice. But maybe it's come from worry. And why we worry, you know? And just recently, I just came back from Hong Kong. We have a fundraising with Ajahn Brahm. So that is one of the topics that no worries, you know. They said, why we worry? It's because we have this negativity towards the future. Things that we don't want to happen in the future, and things that we don't do, negativity towards the past, that we have this guilt. So that, of course, is a main loss of these questions, like people stress out, loss of depression, and all this emotion. So then, and this it remind me when talk about worries, and I really personally, I must say that I find that Ajahn Brahm is really admirable, because we were sitting down there, you know, because there was a talk there was a dialogue between two masters. So he was sitting down there before the talk start. So there was a title, you know, that written on the banner. They said the dialogue between two masters. Then Ajahn Brahm looked at us. He said, "What's happened? If two of you go up there, the nuns go up there to give a talk, so would it become the dialogues between two mistresses?" Then he said, "Oh, Ajahn, you're not going to go up there to say that, isn't it?" He went up there, he said that. So to me, he said, he's just not worried about how people look at him, how people feel about him. Sometimes we do, you know, we give ourselves lots of suffering. We concern so much, we worry that how people look at us, you know, how people think of us, if we said that, should we say that, I shouldn't say that, you know, and lots of mental suffering. So, and easy said and done, isn't it? You know, like Ajahn Brahm said, "Oh, no worries. If your relationship doesn't work out, doesn't matter, just become monks and nuns," you know. He said, "I'm so grateful that my girlfriend dumped me. If not, I would not become a monk now." So, I mean, he's just open, he's just relaxed, you know. And I find that it's really admirable, you know, to someone like, you know, just, you know, he's really teaching by example. He's just, you know, and this is how this emotion, you know, sometimes that is from very slightest thing. When we focus on that, it grows, we manifest. So, and how to deal with this emotion? You know, and because it's easy, said and done, and let it go, not to worry, it's just to become a monk or become a nun. But there are a lot of, there's a few steps to help us to deal with this afflictive emotion. The first step and the foundation and the very crucial step, that is to, we have to come to a place of acceptance. You know, by accepting it, actually we are enduring it, and also we are tolerating it, because we accepting it, then we say it's all right, it's okay, it's all right to be there, it's fine. Because the problem is we think that it's not fine, you know. Like for example, sometimes people think that having depression is wrong. It's nothing wrong with those emotion, you know. Whatever emotion that we experience right now, that is not a problem. It's okay, it's fine. We're accepting it. That is fine. And come to the place of accepting, acceptance. But how do we come to the place of acceptance? And people will ask that, you know. Easy to say, to, you know, to accept it and let it go and let it be. And the most important thing is that we to come to the place of acceptance, the first thing we be able to recognize that, to recognize the emotion is there. You know, that is important. So how are we going to be able to recognize this emotion? So, like, most of the people in this world, when they have a problem in life, they try to find a solution. So usually, most of the people, how they find the solution in life, like try to find a solution for the problem, mostly they look out, isn't it? They're trying to find the solution to solve the problem. They look out. But actually, the solution is within ourselves. We have to look in. So, because if we don't know where to look at to address the problem, we have to know where's the problem coming from. So if we are trying to look out to find for the solution, so we are looking at the wrong place. So we not be able to address the problem. We not be able to know. We have to know the cause, the source of the problem, from where is it coming from. Then only that we be able to deal with that. Isn't it? We have to know from where this problem coming from. So the Buddha mentioned about these two arrows. So the first one, the first arrow, that is like, what happened externally, beyond our control, isn't it? Like these natural disasters, like illness, old age. We can't control this body. We can't control the bodies, you know, not to get old, not to get sick. And the second arrow, that is how we add on. So the Buddha said, those enlightened ones, when they struck by an arrow, they know that yes, there is pain in life. They acknowledge that. It's not trying to deny, yes, there is pain. And they leave it, you know. But those foolish ones, the Buddha said, they will pick up another arrow and then they poke themselves a few more times. That is how we add on. So the first arrow, we can't deal with that. But the second arrow, we can. It can be done. Even though it's not easy, but it's possible. We can be done. We can deal with the second one to lessen our pain, to lessen our suffering in life. That is important. So that is to be able to recognize that. Then we look in. So actually, what's the Buddha taught? You know, when we read the suttas, the teachings of the Buddhas, the Buddhas mentioned only this body and mind, isn't it? Never outside this body and mind. How to deal with this, you know, knowing ourselves, to understand ourselves. They said the most important thing, to understand ourselves, this body and mind, ourselves, look inside. Because this body, this mind that we have been living, you know, since we born until now, how many of us really look into this body and mind to understand this body and mind, how this body and mind function, what the mind does? So that is important. We got to understand. This is our own body and mind. So this body and mind, so the body is made out of these four elements. Fire, earth, water, and air element. And the mind that is made up of this all together, the body and mind is five aggregates. So the body aggregate is made up of the four elements. So the mind made out of four aggregates. That is the feelings, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. This is the four aggregates, and altogether five aggregates that make us of that. But today, I would like to focus more on the feeling aggregates, because this is where we always get caught. This is where we always, you know, entangle in this emotion. So the feelings, so because we have this body, so we have this sense base. So when we see things, and when we see a thing, when there is a contact, that is feeling arises. So when the feeling arises, there is either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So usually, the pleasant feelings when arises, then we give rise to attachment, greed, desires. We want more. And when unpleasant feelings arises, that we have aversion, we try to get rid of it. Normally, when there is neutral feelings, we tend to, you know, we don't bother and we ignore that. So there is usually we get caught in that pleasant and unpleasant. So sometimes even pleasant feelings that attachment, give rise to attachment. So even with that pleasant feeling arises, we be able to acknowledge that, yes, okay, it's pleasant, it's nice, we leave it there, it's fine. The problem is when we started to label that. So for example, someone being nasty to you, then that's the feelings of unpleasant feelings, isn't it? Then it's just, to us that we start to labor, put the labor on this person, then where is the problem coming from? This person is bad. It's totally bad. So this is what, because we perceive, you know, when the feelings arises, that is the perception. So how we perceive things according to how we feel, you know, according to our like and dislike. So we dislike this person. So we think that this person is terrible. It's how terrible this person is. And the person we like, so we think that this person is wonderful. And we think that this person gives us the happiness. So we are not perceiving the things purely. We are perverted by our like and dislike. So, for example, like perceptions is not, it's like we tend to bend towards that, you know, that what suits us. The things that we like, we can see. If we don't want to see it, we can't see it. And it remind me of one of the incidents. Was happened many years ago, and there was a man is a Sikh. He was killed. He was killed because of they suspect him that he's a terrorist. Then he killed him just because he got the beard. He looked like the Arabian. He looked like the Middle East people. And actually, it's not all Muslim are terrorists, isn't it? But because of we oversimplify, you know. This label, you know, we put this label, we oversimplify. Then we take that, you know, as truth. We believe that. So, and usually people used to say that, you know, if I have not seen it with my own eyes, I would not believe it. But in this case, should be the other way around. Because we believe it, then we see it. Because they believe that this man is a terrorist. This is, we keep reinforcing that in our mind. Then we create that problem. We create that suffering, the pain. So the perception, like feelings, they give rise to perception. And these perceptions, the one of the functions is to keep reinforcing the original one. That is, our sense apparatus work in a way that is it reinforce the original one. So the first one, that is we keep, then we create that ourselves. Like, there's one of the, for example, like the perceptions, like we bend towards what we like and towards that we suit us. For example, when I was young, you know, when I was young, to me, it's like my perceptions of age, what do you consider old? So when I was young, what I consider old when you're 30 is really old. So as I grow older now, I'm 51. So I changed my perception. So my perceptions of old is not 30 anymore. So I think that it should be maybe 90. I don't dare to say 80 because maybe someone here should be 70 or 80. So I should set it at 90. So now I'm 51. So I still feel like I'm still a spring chicken. So this is how we this is how the perception. So we are not really seeing the truth. No, we are not perceiving the truth. So this causes lots of problems. For example, like this man, he killed the wife because he think that his problem is come from the wife. Only if I got it of this person, I'd be all right. Because my suffering is come from this person. Actually, it's not. Because that you reinforce the feelings, you make it becomes unbearable. I completely understand why. Like, people have depressions, they kill themselves. It's not that I have the experience trying to kill myself, but I do have this experience that to the extent that I can't bear anymore. So when I was doing my first retreat, so this first retreat was a very intense retreat. So you have to get up, you know, you have to get up 3:30, 4:00, you have to start to walk and sit, and then 6:30, 6:30 is breakfast, and then you go back, you practice sitting and walking, and after that, you know, 11 is the lunch time, then after that, you have only 1 hour break that you go to have a shower and have a break. Then 1:00 again, you start to practice, till at night, 9:30. So then we have 30 minutes chanting to 10 o'clock. The first day, because I was new, I just started to practice, you know, meditation. The first day, I still can manage. So the second day, oh, really struggling. The third day, I was really so painful. My whole body is just so painful. Then, and this retreat, I remember that the retreat is really strict and it's really intensive type of retreat. So you don't even have a chair to sit. So I can't sit on the chair. I was so tired and I can't walk because my leg is so heavy. I can't even lift my leg. And then what am I going to do? And I can't go back to sleep because everybody will know because no one going back to sleep. It's not like Ajahn Ram so good. He said you can go back to sleep. But this one, no, you can't. Then, what am I going to do? And no chair for me to sit. And I was really painful, so painful. I just cannot cope. And I said, I can't more, I can't see. And that moment, I was in tears. Then I was really regret. I said, I shouldn't have told anyone that I'm doing this retreat. Because I said, what am I going to do? I can't go back because all my friends will know that I can't make it. Halfway, I pull out, you know. So then that moment, I was really so painful. Then I do a point that I said, okay, it's so painful. I rather die. I rather let the pain take my life. So I said, okay, I don't care. I rather die. So I pull all my cushions away. So I just sat. It's just funny enough, interestingly enough, that moment I let go. And the pain is just disappeared in that split second. After that, I have such a peaceful meditation, you know. And it's so nice. I was so happy after that, you know. And so peaceful. Then this is the really first insight I realized that actually I manifest the pain. It's not as bad. But because I make it unbearable to a point that I can't bear it anymore. It's just like a lot of people, the things that, you know, oh, I couldn't pass my exam, that's the end of the world. Because they are not perceiving the truth. They are not seeing the whole picture. You know, studying is just part of our life, you know. We can always sit another exam again. There's always another exam. And even we don't do well in our exam, it's fine. A lot of successful, you know, wealthy men that didn't do well in the school. And they still becomes wealthy. They're still very well. Do well in the career. It's fine. And relationship doesn't work out. It's fine. It's not, because sometimes when we focus on that, so when we are in the midst of that, we can't see a thing. We think that that's it, the end, you know. Relationship doesn't work out, this end, that's the end. So they say it's important that sometimes we take ourselves away from the situation. So it's because when we are in that, then we keep reinforce that, our emotion. So when this perception thing reinforced, then we come to these mental formations, how we view this thing, how we think about this thing. So then we develop a certain way of looking at things, a certain point of views of things. And with that, we carry into our stream of consciousness with us. So when next time when we have this similar situation, so if we are not aware of that, and we have the same feelings arise again, and it's become more intense than the first one. So if we don't work with that, and it's become again and again, we reinforce. Then again, we reinforce our will. We have very strong will. Then this is how we keep reinforcing. And also it reminds me of another story that is a true story. That one of our supporters, she used to pass by an area that in the past there was a fight. The bikie, there was a fight with the bikie. So once one of the bikie was killed. So whenever she passed by there, she feel that there was a being there, like needing her loving kindness, that she sent loving kindness to the beings there. And she feel so strong, and she really feel that that is coming from the being that really need her loving kindness. So she's been doing that for a few years. Whenever she passed by that area, that spot, she's been sending loving kindness to the being there. So one day when she read the newspaper, she discovered that actually the person that she believed that she's already was killed actually still alive. This is how, because we create that, we manufacture that. Then this is how, like, things is not as bad. This is how we add on. It's not what we're experiencing that is, you know, that is such a problem. But that we add on, that is really the problem. That create more suffering for ourselves. So that's why you have to understand where is the problem coming from. So it's not because we keep thinking how terrible that person, like, and then we think that only with get rid of this person, my problem is solved. It will never solve because it's still there. So that's why it's important that we understand how the mind works, you know, how this perception. So that's why the Buddha said that this delusion is come from our distorted views. And the distorted view have this distorted perception as its condition. So that's why we have this distorted perception, then create lots of suffering for ourselves. That is the second arrow, that is we create more suffering for ourselves. So there's a few skillful means to help us how to recognize this emotion, you know, to deal with it. So one of the very good skillful means that is, so we work with the feelings, because with the emotion, it's very difficult to be able to just observe and the arising and the passing away of the emotions, and not to interfere and not to react. That is a very subtle, that is a third foundation of mindfulness. So if you go to the feelings, because feeling is the causal object. So the other one is more subtle, so it's difficult to deal with. So we deal with, focus on, pay attention to our bodily actions, sensations, feelings. So we pay attention to our feelings because it does help. So when we have the, for example, like for my own experience, when I have when I feel nervous, my body tense up. So because whatever the emotion, usually you have a signal, you know, your body, they give you the signal in your body that is a tenseness there. So when you practice all the time, you know, you pay attention every day, you practice mindfulness in everyday life, to focus on your body, your sensation, because most of the time we don't pay attention to our body, isn't it? We always rush from one thing to another. So we pay attention to our body before it gets, because when we do not aware with these feelings, then we go into that gets sucked into the emotion, because we get sucked into the pleasant feelings, you know, the attachments, you know, greed, desires, and go on and on. And then we have a lot of story to tell. For example, like we can write a book regarding someone if press our button, you know. Then we go on and on and on the mind. So then sometimes it's too strong. It's the feelings is too intense, and we come to the point that is that you can't control yourself. Then it's explode. So if we be able to pay attention to our bodily feelings, so to know our sensations, then before it gets big that we can't control ourselves, then we pick it up. That is a signal. So of course it will not happen overnight. It takes time, because this is a gradual training. The Buddha's teaching is a gradual training. You need time to become very skillful to pick up your emotion before you have that that explosion, that you can't control your emotion anymore. And another way that to help to deal with this emotion is to remove ourselves away from our usual normal situation. Because when we are in that usual normal situation, so we keep reinforced. Sometimes it's too much for us to deal with, because sometimes like when we go back, we try to deal with the emotion, but and then again when we go back to the usual situation, it gets reinforced again. So it's important. Sometimes we need a break. That's why, because sometimes to a point that the mind can't take anymore, we do need a break. So maybe to have a retreat, to have some quiet time. And it also reminds me one of the lady, I think it's about 1.5 years ago. She came to our monastery. Before she came, she spent 2 weeks in our monastery. So when she just arrived, she was quite depressed, because she was having problem with her relationship. So she was very depressed. And after 2 weeks, she spent in our monastery because it's take her away from the normal situation. Because when we are in the middle of that, in the midst of that, we are being pushed into a corner. So we can't see a thing. So we can't think. We can't think clearly. We can't see things clearly. All we see is just that we unbearable, you know, that is the suffering, you know, the pain. So it's good that we, from time to time, we need to remove ourselves from the situations. Then after the 2 weeks that she spent with us, she expressed her gratitude that how much she benefited, because she realized that actually life is much more than the relationship. Doesn't work out, it doesn't matter. Because she said that she can be happy, because when she stayed in the monastery, she was in with the other anagarikas, with the nun. She said they live so simple, they don't have nothing. Actually, she realized that we do not need to have lots of things in order to be happy. And she fall into our routine, meditate with the nun, you know. We listen to the Dharma talks, and that really removed her from that. And she said that she really, you know, walk out from her own prison, because before that she can't. She just, you know, she put herself into the prison, you know. Then she couldn't think clearly. They said sometimes we need to remove ourselves. They said a lot of times they will come to me and ask, you know, I cannot make my decision whether to do this or do this. I'm not sure. I'm confused. I said, if you're confused, you don't make any decisions. All you need to do to make yourself as peaceful as you can. You know, that is the only way. Because when you're confused, whatever decision you make is not going to work. You know, because your mind is confused. So sometimes we think that we got to solve the problem. No, we don't. We don't have to. So we can't think of a way to solve the problem. We put it aside. Then we walk away. We remove ourselves from that situation. Then we make our mind as peaceful as we can. Then when we are peaceful, when we are calm, we can think. We can think clearly. We have a bigger picture. Because we are in it, so we can't see, you know. We can only see part of the picture. So only when we are removed from the situation, then we have this a bigger picture. So that is important. And another skillful way is to, we keep turning our mind towards the Dhamma. We reflect and we contemplate. That is a very good way. Because sometimes we test and also develop the attitude, the positive attitude. Because the Buddha said, what we think, we become. If we have this negative attitude, like, you know, like for example, the Buddha said in this Dhammapada, he said, we all, no matter what we do, we are going to be criticized, you know. So in this Dhammapada, they said, if you are silent, they criticize you. If you speak little, you've been criticized. If you speak a lot, you've been criticized. So no matter what you do, you've been criticized. So they said, the Buddha said, you know, that there is we cannot escape from that. You know, if people have the negativity towards us, we can't help it. But on our part, we can change. We can't work with others' people's defilements. But we definitely can work with our own. We can't live for others, but we can live for ourselves. We definitely can do it. You know, we help ourselves, we can help ourselves. But by helping ourselves, actually we can help others. So keep turning our mind towards the Dhamma to reflect, to develop this positive attitude, to look at the good things, rather than, you know, for example, someone being nasty to us. So we change our attitude, you know, not to go on into the negativity. We think that this person is terrible. Maybe we give the person the benefit of doubt. Maybe she's, you know, not in a good mood, maybe not feeling well. When you're not well, you tend to be more snappy, more grumpy. And, you know, then we try to put ourselves into the other person's shoes, and also change our way of looking at things. Rather than focus on the negative, we focus on the positive. And it reminds me that about more than 10 years ago, when my mom just passed away, and the first 6 months, I was still quite sad and grief, you know, grieving, you know, over my mom's death. Whenever I think of my mom, I started to cry. And after one day, I remember one day that I read some books, I read a Dharma books, you know, about this developing this positive attitude, you know. Then I started to change my way of relating, you know, to relate to things. Then I started instead, because whenever I remember my mom, I relate that I have lost her, the loss. But I changed the other way of looking at things, that I got her for many years. So I changed. So when I look at that, I got her for all this year. And I'm so fortunate. I have such a kind, compassionate, and wise mother, you know, and her good qualities. And I keep when I reflect and contemplate on her good qualities, and I have lots of joy and happiness. So, and since then, when I remember my mom, I no longer feel sad. I feel I have lots of joy and happiness, because I feel that I'm so fortunate that I have her. Because we tend to look to the negative side, that we are lost, you know. It's just like the half glass of water, whether we still have another half glass or we have only remainder half a glass. So I changed my way of looking at things, you know, relate to things. Then each time now, when I think of my mom, I'm no longer have this feel sad anymore. I have no sadness. All I have is I feel inspired, and I have lots of joy. I remember when I share this with one of our supporters. She said, "I will love my children, you know, remember me with joy. If I pass away, then whenever my children remember me with a lot of joy and happiness." Because we tend to look for the things that we don't have, and then we tend to take it for granted, things that we already got, what we already have. And then this is important. Then we become more appreciative, and then we don't waste our time, spend our energy, worry about things in the future anyway. We don't know what is going to happen in the future. So at least we appreciate this moment, our loved one, so our sibling, our partners, our husband, our wife, you know, so our friends, our dear friends, we appreciate them. So we make the most of it, what we got each moment. Then because we think that, you know, because when we focus on what we don't have, you know, then that is a negative. When we change our relationship towards what we do, the things that we related to, then we change the whole attitude. We becomes happier and become a positive person. So it's very important that we reflect, you know, and keep turning our minds towards the Dharma, to reflect on the Buddha's teaching, to develop these positive attitudes, and to help us with life, you know, when we are in difficulties and with experiences and these very intense emotions that causes us a lot of pain, then takes us away and we feel lighter. And we can see that it's not what we're experiencing that is really important, and how we relate to things. Because we can't control a lot of things, that what's happening to us and what other people are going to say to us, that is out of control. But we can always change our attitude, to change how we relate to things, to develop the positive attitude to look at things. Then it's really help us to lessen our pain. and in life. They said this is some of the skillful means that we can use in life. So of course, this will not happen overnight. You need to put in the effort in the practice. And of course, sometimes we might find ourselves 3 steps forward and 2.5 steps backwards. Doesn't matter. We still have half a step. You know, so maybe sometimes we find ourselves, you know, 3 steps forward, doesn't matter. At least we still didn't get worse, you know. We still have, you know. Then it takes time. So we have that positive attitude, like, you know, then it's fine. It's take times. Because a lot of people, they want the results. They want immediate results. Okay, I listen to the book. And Buddha's teaching, I'm putting in effort, I'm practicing 3 months already. You see, this emotion still come out. Of course it still come out. You know, even we don't react to the emotion this moment, that emotion still come out. It's not going to go away right now. Because just imagine we've been building up this energy for how long? Maybe it's since childhood, maybe it's in a previous life. And we expect that within 3 months, then we have done with. No. So it takes time. You know, we can't get rid of the emotion, you know, because it's just like, this is just like the simile of the wheel. That, because it's just like a spin. Because we have been reacting, we have been reinforced that emotion. So it's just like the simile of the wheel is spinning. Even though we stop kicking the wheel, we stop reacting, stop kicking, the wheel is still spin. But it gets slower. The energy is slower. So then the more we do it, you know, that we continue, you know, not to react, to kick the wheel. And then it's the energy is slower and slower. Eventually it stops. It's the same thing like us. Like, for example, I know for myself, like some of the things that in the past usually is used to irritate me. You know, I used to get caught with that the kind of in that situation. You know, then after a while, that is less intense. You know, the intensity. You know, is less intense, and after a while, you can hold yourself. You know, you find it easy to deal with, not like before. Sometimes you really can't hold yourself, almost you explode. And after a while, you can see that you can hold it better. And you need to practice. It will not go away immediately. You need to keep putting in effort to practice. And then only you can see the results after a while. And you can see for yourself. And it does work. That's why you need to have the patience. So I offer this for your reflections, and may this teaching be of benefit to all of you. And thank you for listening. Any questions? Okay. Yes, any questions and comments? Yes.
If the body is made up of 4 elements, how can it be made up of fire?
Huh?
How can there be fire in the body?
Oh, well, I'm talking about the 5 aggregates. Sorry about that. Not so clear. So the body and mind make up of 5 aggregates. The body aggregates and the mind is 4 aggregates. So the body aggregates is made up of 4 elements.
Can I ask something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm verbal husband. Very good topic. Yeah. You know this. I like to share with people. Okay. Uh-huh. How I deal with negative feelings. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. You see, negative feelings or emotions arise when things don't agree with what we think. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Things happen, it doesn't agree with us. Yeah. Thing, no. If it's good, we feel good. If it's bad, we feel bad feeling or bad emotion. Okay, from the 5 aggregates. Yeah. I find, you know, through our lifetimes, you know, okay, we've been brought up to think in a certain way that certain things are wrong and right, you know. Mm-hmm. We only think ourselves. We don't think of the other way around, you know, or the other people, you know. All right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, I find the feeling, okay, the feeling in us arise from our perception and mental formation. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's negative, you feel negative. Yeah. Once I find if you turn it, you know, from that the perception, mental formation, to something positive, then the feeling goes good instantly. That's what I find, you know. But you have to maintain it, you know. Keep doing it. It takes practice, okay? Yeah. And the other thing is, when the other way to reduce that negative feeling is, you, like for meditation, you observe the feeling, knowing it's impermanent, you know. Mm-hmm. You observe this thing, then it'll go down. Then it might come up again, and slowly over time, it'll go down and you'll fade this thing. You know? And then, you know, that's why like the prolonged, if you don't have understand this, prolonged negative feeling will lead to depression, anxiety, what you call the panic attacks and all these things.
Yeah.
You know? That,
yes.
That's, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yes. And yes, this is one of the points I would like to mention is that when you observe your feelings arises and passing away, actually that's give you the insight to understand that actually that feelings is not going to stay there forever. It's going to pass. But only thing that we're not accepting it, we don't want it to be there. So the harder we try to get rid of the feelings, actually we are reinforcing the feelings. It's become stronger. So that's why, like attachments, like desires, craving, that is an unwholesome state of mind. That's why when we have that feelings, we reinforce that, then that is a negativities. That's why it's going into negativities. Only when there's things that is wholesome, things that related to a wholesome object, for example, then the emotions or the feelings, you know, like it's it will be a positive one. Yes, okay.
Just quickly, yeah. You see, all this whole thing comes back to the Buddha's teaching, you know. Mm-hmm. Ehi pasiko, come and experience. Come and you know not experience. Come and you know not. As against like a come and believe, you know, and don't ask questions. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, actually, we need to really work with our own defilements, and only we ourselves can help ourselves. And we can't. I mean, we can't work with others people's defilements too, isn't it? So it's ultimately it's always come back to us. They said the more we can understand ourselves, the more we can understand others. Then we become more compassionate and a kinder person, because we can comprehend, we can understand how the other person have gone through, the pain the other person have gone through, because we understand ourselves. So only to understand ourselves, then we can understand others. Nothing? I don't know. I think it's not working. I'll give you the mic so that other people can.
Okay. My question is, I was wondering whether the Buddha or the Dharma suggests different techniques to overcome different emotions, or whether it's the same, whether it's anger or fear. Is it the same approach that one uses, or is it the difference there?
Because a lot of those emotions, for example, like anger, sometimes the anger can come from when we have attachments like to certain things, you see. We attach it to so strongly that we have the fear to lose the thing. I mean, to lose, for example, we attach to a person, for example. So the more we attach to this person, So then because we have this attachment is come from the possessiveness. So then give rise to fear. We fear of losing this because we think this is so important to us. We attach to it. So when the fear sometimes give rise to this anger. So that's why sometimes the anger is a predominant one. We can see the predominant, and we can't see the underlying tendency. That's why through working with the feelings, sometimes we be with the feelings, so then we cultivate the mindfulness. The more we become mindful of our sensation of feelings, actually we do know where our emotion coming from. For example, it's happened to me after my mom passed away, and my father is like, I was in the monastery, and I was being informed that he's dying, basically, of cancer. So because of the first experience that I lost my mom, that I can't do anything, you know, that, you know, I know that she suffered, but I can't take away her suffering. And it's very painful to look at someone that you love and you can't help that person, and you feel so helpless, you know, you just can't do anything. And it's very painful feelings. So because of that, you know, because of that past experience, then it becomes an underlying tendency, the emotion in me that, you know, then when I heard my, when I know my father that is going to die, actually, I'm seems like I'm quite peaceful, I'm fine. But actually, I was suppressing my emotion, like, because of the fear of facing another death again, the fear. So when the fear come, because I was suppressing my emotion, I push it down. I started to feel that my chest is terrible pain. It's so much pain. It's really painful and very tight. And I have that for a few days. But I know there is something going on in my emotion, because from my past experience, that when I have fear, then I allow the fear pass and it disappear. So then I know that is something is related to my emotion that I that time I still can't see. So, but I just be with that tightness, you know. I know that there's emotion, but I didn't go into the fabrications, thinking about might be this and that. Then sometimes we reinforce the fear. You know, we reinforce the emotion. That's why it's very important we just not try to analyze what's going on. Just let that feeling be. So I just let it be. And then after a while, when I started to talk, and then talking about something that actually has nothing to do with this, then I started my emotion come out. And I started to cry. Then after that, when that come out, and I started to sit quietly, I just meditate and I just observe my feelings, then that moment my tightness, you know, very tight in my body is gone. Then the mind, I have more clarity. And after that, I started to reflect and I started to contemplate. And I can see where is it coming from. Actually, it's coming from that I fear of that fear, you know, fear of facing that, you know. And actually, the moment when I see that, where my emotion coming from, actually gone. I no longer have that tightness with me. And I remember when I went back, when my father passed away, actually I was quite peaceful, you know. And when my father passed away, that moment, I feel a sense of relief for him, because he suffered a lot, because it's a lung cancer, he can't breathe. So when he stopped breathing, actually he looks very peaceful. So I feel a relief for him. And after that, I have a sense of sadness. But I just acknowledge that it's okay. It's not that we shouldn't. The problem is we think that we shouldn't You know, we should not, you know. It's fine, whatever feelings that we have, we allowed it to be there, you know. But of course, it takes times to practice, you know, to observe the feelings, to be with their feelings. It takes time. It will not happen overnight. Then after, the more you do the practice, you know, observe, pay attention to your feelings, and then you can get it very quickly. For example, now, like, for example, I give a talk. Oh, before that, I started to feel nervous. I know. Then I know, I feel my chest tight. Then I know that it's coming. So if I'm not aware of that, I'd be really panic, you know. Then I just know that, okay, this is... That's why whenever you have that feelings, you just tell yourself, relax, relax, relax. Just relax. Then it's gone. So the more you do that, you know, you become very skillful. And then you can pick up very quickly. Because it's the feelings is a causal object, you can pick up easier than in the emotions, because the mental formation, the mental object is very subtle, it's difficult. So it's easier to work with the causal object. And I don't know whether it's answer your questions. Makes sense. Yes, this is one of these questions. This is from India. He said, "Venerable, I have been meditating for about 4 years. 4 years now. Sometimes I get used to being calm so much that my mind gets bored. How to deal with boredom caused by lack of emotional stimulation?" Because we have been conditioned. Because the mind, this is the. When the mindfulness that is not strong enough, especially when we meditate after a while, when the mindfulness is not strong enough, then we tend to feel bored, like lack of energy, because the mindful, because especially the breath is very subtle. If you are doing breath meditation, so it's very subtle. So the mindfulness is not sharp enough. So not subtle enough, but especially when a breath gets into really subtle, very calm, then because our mindfulness is not as sharp, as refined as our breath, then we tend to become like, you know, sometimes you feel like you're going to fall asleep. So I remember when I, in the early days when I meditate, it's nice, you know, you feel like, oh, am I sleeping? Am I not sleeping? Then you don't have the clarity. That means your mindfulness is not strong. If your mindfulness is strong, your mind is clear. It's clear. You have the clarity. So then you have lots of, you have this mental energy. So the energy is, the mental energy actually is come from the stillness. It's the still. When your mind is still, then you have lots of energy. That's boredom is come from the mind is the mindfulness is not strong. They say sometimes like one of my practices, I try to go back to the causal breath. Like it's too subtle. The mindfulness is not strong enough to be with that breath because it's too subtle. So I just put a little bit of effort into my breath, but not too much. Like, you don't do it too much, because if too much, then each time you get, you know, you can't get back to a peaceful mind. But a little bit, then it's helped me to again, like, you know, back to a coarser a breath, you know, then it's easy to focus on. So they said the boredom is come from this is slot and topper, lack of energy. So then this is another way of helping to have this, to inspire us, is to sometimes we do like before our sitting, sometimes we can do some reflection. you know, to reflect on the Buddha's teaching and to feel inspired, then give us more energy. And or reflect on our virtue, our morality. Actually, there's a lot of skillful means that we can use. This is how I usually, in the past, whenever I feel bored, then I just reflect something that is inspiring and make me feel inspired. And then to have, and this type of happiness is not rely on outside of us. You know, is that is the happiness within ourselves when we feel inspired. So reflect on the Buddha's teaching and whatever, and then whatever method that, you know, actually there's not the best or the only way. Whatever way that is make our mind calm and peaceful, and that is the best way. So another question is, the question is from Singapore. My brother's changing of religions has annoyed me all the time, and it keeps coming again and again, and I can't accept it because it's concerned my mother as well. How to deal with this thinking? Then yes, just now I have already mentioned that we can't change others, but we can always change ourselves. Like that is to exercise compassion and loving kindness. If we really love our sibling, we accept him no matter who he is, whether he's a Muslim, he's a Christian, yeah. We accept him. That is a true loving kindness. So practice loving kindness. You know, I only love you if provided you are a Buddhist. Then that is not a loving kindness. Actually, not loving kindness actually is remind me myself too. That's one of my siblings really annoy me. And that night I couldn't sleep, you know, half a night is my mind go on and on. I've been churning of that, you know, thinking that it's not right, shouldn't do that, you know, on and on. And actually I create lots of suffering for myself. Then after that, I just, fortunately, I still have a little bit of wisdom. I'd be able to stop. Then I realized that, okay, hang on a minute. I said, what are you doing? I said, you don't love her, isn't it? If I really love her, no matter who she is, I still love her. Because sometimes, and then that point when I started to reflect and contemplate, I realized that actually I attached to my own views and opinions more than I really love my sister. Because I think that is not right. Because I attached to my own views and opinions come from my own ego, my sense of self. Because I think that is right, you know? So hold on to our views and opinions, because this is me, this is mine. So then when we hold on to this me and mine, my opinion, this is me. And actually, then I realized that I was being selfish. I'm just attached to my own views and opinions. It's fine. It's all right. Like I grown up, my neighbor is all Muslim. We are happy. I find that they are wonderful person. Doesn't matter what religion they are. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes like people tend to put the label on, you know, I'm a Buddhist, so I'm a goodie. So you are not a Buddhist, so you are a baddie, you know, to put that identification is. So that I realized that, you know, and not long ago, the same thing someone, I think more than 6 months ago, my son called me. So we were talking about the sense of self, how we attach to ourselves. And then he shared that with me. He said that when he was working, he was doing photographing, because he's a photographer. So he was thinking that the boss treated those workers unfairly. it's really bad, and he feel like, you know, he have this self righteousness. It's not fair. It's no good. He think that he's not wrong, you know. Then he keep thinking that, and then until a day that he realized that actually he's not really care for those people. Actually, he's very honest. He's acknowledged that. He said that to me. Actually, I realized that I'm not really. It seems like I'm so compassionate. I'm care for the workers' well-being, welfare. But actually, I realized that actually I come from my own self-righteousness. This is wrong. This is right. He shouldn't do that. You know, that is come from that sense of self. You know, that is me exercise the kindness and compassion. No, no matter who you are, loving kindness means that is melting the barrier between ourselves and others. You know, open up the door of our heart, allows people to come in. It's not that we try to push something to give some loving kindness. No, loving kindness is to open ourselves, to have a big heart, to allow people to come in, no matter who the person is. That is loving kindness. So I practice loving kindness, exercise loving kindness. It's like Ajahn Ram used to say, be kind, be gentle. Yeah, be kind and be gentle. So, and the third one. I can't. That my family have been having some problems with racism, which is not being resolved by reporting it to the police. This has been troubling me deeply. So it's again that some of the, and this is really as not an easy solution. It reminds me of one of the questions I was being asked. I think 2 years ago, a website there, someone asked a question that I think there was a topic about the euthanasia. Should put down the dog or not to put down the dog? These sort of questions. My house got a white ant. What shall I do? Shall I just leave the white ant to eat up the whole house? How? I tried to practice, you know. Then I said, you know, there is no easy solution. Then we always have to come back to the Buddhist teaching of the First Noble Truth. That is, life is inherently unsatisfactory. No matter what we do, we are not going to get it right. And it's not going to be perfect. The only way that we can really solve our problem in life, that is not to be reborn. That is the only way. When you are in the samsara, this is part of life. Then lots of, you know, we can't resolve lots of problems. That the only way we can resolve that is to at ease and at peace with things, and especially things that we can't solve. And we just, like, come to a place of acceptance. And we just have to, all we can do just to send loving kindness and, you know, then, yeah, this is really there is no easy solution. So I think that's it. Any more questions? Yes?
Can you suggest to deal with these negative emotions and feelings to learn the Buddhist teachings?
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're suggesting to...
Yeah, yes. For example, like some of the reflections, like for example, like we reflect on impermanent uncertainty, then we see that life is so precious. We don't even know that this is a Buddhist teaching, you know, that is life is uncertain. So we don't even know whether we are going to be still alive next moment. So then we can see that there is the preciousness of this life. Then give rise to that we become more appreciative to this moment. And rather than sometimes we tend to spend a lot of time, like, you know, into worrying about future, actually we don't really know what is going to happen in the future. It's uncertain. But at least we can make peace, you know, in this moment. We can relate, you know, to this moment with peace, with kindness, with compassion. So actually it does help. Like, for example, it's helped me to give rise lots of energy to practice when I was in Thailand. Then because of my father passed away 3 months, then my brother passed away. And within 3 months, I have lost my father and my brother. Then it's really struck me very hard. And I become like, I contemplate a lot, you know, on death, mindfulness on death. Actually, I become really appreciative. Every morning, I got so much energy. The first day, you know, 3 o'clock, I got up. Not even 3 o'clock, quarter to 3 when I got up. I was like, wow, I'm still alive. I feel so appreciative that I'm still alive. I appreciate that I have this life. I have this body, a healthy body, be able to practice. Then I got lots of energy to practice. I become really appreciative. Become very appreciative to what I got, to the people that, you know, that each time when I go back to visit my families, I feel so appreciative of them because I don't know when I'm going to meet them again. So it's really helped. Then we really help to become more positive, like just, you know, to focus on this moment. So I don't know whether this is makes sense to you and helped you. Question.
Yes, sort of. But my next question is, where can I learn then? Do you have classes here, or do I just go?
Oh, yes, we do. We do have classes. Like for we have the beginners class, and tomorrow 3 o'clock is the advanced one. So we do have the beginning class. The beginning one is 3 o'clock. Is the shrine over there? And in the main hall is the advanced meditators. Beginners is there. So we do have the meditation course. And we do have like Buddha's teaching too. Like for every second and fourth Sunday, isn't it? We do have the Buddha's teaching, the sutras reading. So in this center.
Okay. I can get information there.
Yes, you can go to the receptions area to get the information.
Thank you.
I think that's it.